Savior Jesus Christ until his triumphant return. And maybe if we're lucky, we won't even see 2013. Come, Lord Jesus. And even though this is the first Sunday of the year, and this is a notorious Sunday for low attendance, I mean, especially last night, everybody was partying and shaking their booties. But nevertheless, I take this Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, very seriously as I put forth a challenge to this church for the coming year, for 2012. The last 2 years, I preached the exact same message. It was a message I feel like the Lord gave me, and it was based on a song by the Christian rock group Alter Bridge. And it was, "Rise Today and Change This World." I'm gonna rise today and change this world. But before we change this world, we have to truly be changed people. So we're going to back up a little bit. We're going to narrow our focus. The last 2 years have given you a wide focus. There's a wide-angle lens. It's changed this world. But this year, God has given me a different message, a different challenge. We're going to narrow our focus from the world to ourselves as we focus on ourselves this year, being changed people in Christ Jesus. Again, this morning's message, this year's challenge is based on a song. It's a song that has been ringing in my head for months. And this morning I'm going to release it. I'm going to release it. Hopefully it'll get out of my head and it'll get into yours, as the song serves to challenge us and to change us. And I want to make a quick comment. I truly feel that the seed of this message came to me from the Lord. How else could I put this together? How else would this make sense? It's from the Lord. So this message this morning may come across a little bit harsh. It's a challenge. It's challenging. And when I put this message together, I wasn't thinking about anybody specific. You're going to sit there and you're going to think, oh, he's talking about me. Oh, he's talking about me. I'm not. Actually, I'm talking about myself. I'm preaching to myself and you get to listen. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I think this church is a great church. This is the message God gave me. So just try to relax, open your mind, and hear the truth behind the message. Now, as I get started this morning, I'm going to start with a song. I'm going to sing part of a song. It's a song from a Broadway production called A Little Night Music. Did you start the music, Nancy? The song is called Send in the Clowns. Isn't it rich? Aren't we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Where are the clowns? Don't bother. They're here. A man by the name of Stephen Sondheim wrote this song as a character in the production, sings about the ironies and the disappointments in her life. See, she was proposed to by a young man who loved her dearly, but she rejected his proposal for marriage, wanting to chase after fame and fortune. And years later, she comes back, a famous actress, but she's empty inside, and she realizes that she truly loves this man. So she proposes marriage to this man who rejects her Because now he's committed to a younger woman who's committed to being a perpetual virgin. And there's a point in the production where she sings this song because she realizes they're just clowns. They're clowns. Clowns in the song is synonymous for fools. She realizes that they're just fools. Everybody's chasing what they want, but they can't have. Send in the fools. Are we Christians or clowns? That's the message this morning. Are we Christians or clowns or fools? Do you know what you call a church full of gossips and liars and lust mongers and arrogant people with latent sin? Do you know what you call a church full of people who put on their Sunday church face and come to church and then go home and take it off again? Sadly, most would call it a normal church. This morning, I'm going to call it a circus, a three-ring show with clowns taking center stage. What is it about clowns, anyway, that makes them so funny to us? Maybe it's the fact that they're always working so hard, but they never really seem to get anything accomplished. I mean, there's a fire, so the clown fireman's and the clown fire engine is dispatched to the fire, but they show up in front of the wrong house, and everybody laughs. Or they show up in front of the right house, and by the time it takes 25 firemen clowns to get out of their little midget car, the house is burned down, and everybody laughs. Or they get out of their car, and there's someone in the second-story window, and they get that little trampoline net thing, and they say, jump, jump, and the person jumps, and right at the last minute they move, and that person falls right on their butt on the ground, and everyone laughs. Clowns, they're always running, they're always honking, they're always looking really busy, but nothing ever seems to get accomplished except tomfoolery. We love clowns. We love to watch clowns, but we don't really like to be near clowns, because if we're near a clown, then we're the butt of the joke. Our nose is getting honked, water's getting squirted in our eyes, you know, we're shaking their hands, getting buzzed, and we get so unsettled and so unnerved and so angry that we start to act just like he does. That clown turns us into a clown, and all of a sudden there's just a bunch of clowning around, and nothing ever gets accomplished. What do you call a Christian who has secret sin in their lives and they can't seem to get anywhere because they won't let go? They won't let go. A clown. And then what do you call a Christian who is not counting on God's grace to save them, that they're working their fingers to the bone trying to impress God with their good works? I'd also call that person a clown. You see, it's time to stop clowning around, and it's time to start living free in Christ. Our need this morning is to mind our business and to stop clowning around. To mind his business and to stop clowning around. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, as we will be in verses 17 through 24 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And this morning we're going to have four points to this message. We're going to start with the fact that it all starts in the mind. Then we're going to talk about putting our best face forward. Point number three is tripping through life. And then we're going to end with our fourth point, a new attitude, no more clowning around. It starts in the mind, best face forward, tripping through life, and a new attitude. No more clowning around. And we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And this year, not just this week, this year, as you do what you do, as you live your lives as a Christian, know that we're saved by God's grace to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Are we going to allow God to use us to change people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ, be Christians? Or are we going to gossip and backbite and allow sin to control us, be clowns? Let's read together Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So our first point this morning is it all starts in the mind. It all starts in the mind. You've heard the phrase, he's a legend in his own mind. There are people living in sin, and in their minds they are grand, and in reality they're clowns. Verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Paul is speaking to the Gentile church in Ephesus, and he's exhorting them not to fall back into the patterns and thinking of their former Gentile way of life. His admonition to the church in Ephesus and to us this morning and this year is important. It's urgent. This admonition is urgent, and it comes with divine authority. As Paul, remember who's saying this, the Apostle Paul. Paul says, I insist, the strongest of words, I insist. This is not friendly advice. This is serious business. It's an urgent wake-up call with apostolic authority. He says, I insist on it in the Lord. I insist on it in the Lord. If we're going to live as Christ, if we're going to show Jesus to this world, then something's got to change. Our lives have got to change. He insists. What exactly has to change? Well, he tells us. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. You must no longer live as a Gentile. You must no longer live as a pagan. In fact, we can go even further. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says this. Do you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. And that's what some of you were. He's saying, you know, you used to be sexually immoral, but not anymore. You used to be a prostitute. You used to be a homosexual, but no more. That's your old life. You're moving forward now. You used to be a thief. You used to be greedy. You used to be a drunkard. You used to be a slanderer. You used to be a swindler. That's what you used to be. But we're not to live like that anymore. That's what you used to be. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's what we used to do. We used to live in hatred. We used to hate one another. But, and that's a big but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us. We don't live like that anymore. A passage you know well, Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, starting in verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Even though they knew God, even though they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Fools, nothing more than sad-faced clowns. Paul says back in Ephesians 4:17, he says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. He's talking about a mindset. A futile mindset. You see, your mindset is the key. Futility is simply losing touch with reality. Futility, losing touch with the reality. Let me tell you what's real. God is real. Christ's sacrifice on the cross, that's real. We are here to serve him and to bring him glory, that's real. And everything else is ultimately futile. And if you watch the news at all lately, you've seen the media making fun of Tim Tebow for his faith, the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. This man is willing to bow before Christ in front of the world. And what we have are two different mindsets, a godly mindset and a worldly mindset. Tim Tebow, this godly man with a godly mindset, God is the center of his life. Yet these news anchor people, God's a joke. It's a different mindset altogether. For some people, faith in Jesus Christ is everything. They're willing to bow in front of millions of people saying, "I believe." And that gives these other people fodder for their jokes. It's a different mindset. It's a godly mindset and a worldly mindset, and the worldly mindset is basically, ultimately, based on the satanic lie. Go ahead, eat of the fruit. You surely won't die, and you'll be like God. It's a mindset where you are in center ring, but ultimately you're just clowning around. You see, we know the world outside of Christ. We've been there. We've been the clowns dancing for peanuts. And honestly, that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? In church? Let's talk about sin. More specifically, sin in the life of a Christian. Sin in the life of a Christian. You see, sin starts right here. It starts in the mind. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you look at someone with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Why? Because it starts right here. The seed starts right here. If there's no seed of lust in your mind, then it's not going to happen. If you just look at someone with anger, you've already committed anger. Why? Because it starts right here. It starts right here. It's the same thing James says, right? James chapter 1, starting verse 14. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Evil desire. It starts in our mind with a desire, an evil desire. And it only leads to foolishness and ultimately death. It starts right here. You see, sin paints the world black. You no longer see clearly. You no longer think clearly. You no longer hear the Lord anymore. If anyone desires wisdom, what do? Ask for it. Why? Because wisdom, true wisdom, is given to us from above. It's given to us from God. But sin separates us from God, and ultimately it separates us from true wisdom. In sin, we lose wisdom. We become unwise. We lose understanding. We become deaf and dumb. Our mindset is charred, and it's like we live in a fog. Not too long ago, I was counseling a young man, not from this church, and I was just simply giving him very basic principles from the Bible, and the whole time his forehead's all crinkled, you know, and he just can't get it. His mind isn't working properly. Why? Because he's in sin. Just didn't get it. Why is it that brilliant men and women on Wall Street think they can steal billions and billions of dollars and get away with it? Why? How is it that these people think they're so smart and everyone else is so stupid that they can get away with murder? Why is it? I'll tell you why. Sin causes brilliant people to do simply foolish things. They don't think clearly. They're kicking against reality. They're living in the futility of their darkened mind. And then they're living in the futility of a darkened jail cell. Christians in sin begin to act like clowns. The church becomes a three-ring circus, and the elders of the church are reduced to ringmasters with a chair in one hand and a whip in the other, and the world laughs. I mean, when we gossip and we see other people only negatively, it becomes impossible for us to see anything positive in them. When we give in to lust, we see other people only as objects of our own selfish desires. When we give in to lies, our thinking becomes futile and we no longer see the truth. Curse words become our normal vocabulary. Angry people find nothing to be happy about. Clowns. And nothing ever gets accomplished for the kingdom of God. Verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Again, it's a mindset. We are to be children of light, but sin paints the world black. It separates us from God. Thus, our minds become darkened because sin brings the opposite of wisdom. It brings ignorance. Ignorance. And ignorance hardens our minds and hardens our hearts to the truth. And the ignorance here in our passage is not knowing, it's not accepting. You see, knowledge is more than intellectual assent. It's also a grateful, obedient response. If you know, you'll accept. Ignorance is not grateful. Thus, the response is not obedience. If you know God is God, but you don't obey Him, it's ignorance. And ignorance brings a broken relationship with God. It brings the inability to understand. It brings the hardening of the heart. It brings foolishness. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. See, sin causes us to lose sensitivity toward God and toward other people. And this word in Greek, being translated lose sensitivity, it refers to skin that is so calloused that it no longer feels pain. Callous skin that no longer feels. You know what? We long to feel. But in sin, you don't anymore. You lose feeling. So you keep pushing the limits. You push farther and farther. You want more and more, yet you're continually numb to it all. What do you call an insensitive, ignorant fool? Clown. Just a clown. See, it all starts in the mind. It's a mindset. The mind that is surrendered to God is given reality. It's given understanding. It's open to the light. You can see. You can hear. It makes sense. But to the mind that's far from God, man, what does it say here? It's futile. It's darkened. There's no understanding. It's ignorant. It's hardened. It's insensitive. And it continually lusts for more. The darkened mind continually lusts for more and more of its folly. It starts in the mind. And this leads to our second point, which is best face forward. Best face forward. Do you know what truly allows a clown to act like a clown? Their clown face. Their makeup. Their makeup. They put on their face paint. They put on a new face. And they're no longer themselves. They put on a different persona, and it allows them to act for the audience, to entertain. You see, Christians in sin become fools who forget or lose who they are, or they never truly experience who they are in Christ. Many Christians are hiding behind a mask. They're not the same person alone at home as they are at church. They got a church face. They got a work face. They got a family face. They got so many faces. Who are they, really? Who are they? To them, the Christian life is just putting your best face forward, trying to give people what you think they want. But truly, it's futility. It's futility of their thinking. And people who are actors and actresses, they're ignorant. They're ignorant as to who God truly is. They're ignorant as to the authority and supremacy of Christ. They're ignorant to the power of God's Holy Spirit. So these people were all just actors putting on a show, a different face for a different audience. And we look at those people and we think, oh, what comedians. But behind that mask, they're living a tragedy. And these people who put on different masks, they lose sensitivity. Their skin becomes thick like lizard skin. They no longer feel, and they become, they don't realize their foolishness. Are you wearing a mask this morning? Did you put on your Sunday face? Are you trying to hide something that you don't want other people to know? Because that's not how Christians are supposed to live. This isn't the freedom we have in Christ. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's slavery. We're enslaved to these masks that we wear. In Revelation 1:16, we see the face of Jesus, and it's shining in glory and brilliance. The Son of the face of God is shining like the sun. And you know what? Some of that glory, a fraction of that glory, should be shining through us. And the only way to put our real face forward is by purging the sin in our lives and allowing Jesus to shine through us. Best face forward. And this leads to our third point, tripping through life. Tripping through life. Just as clowns hide behind their makeup, they also wear silly clothes, right? Especially those big, silly clown shoes. Clown shoes are super big, extra long, they're clumsy, they're hard to walk in, there's no finesse, and really, to wear those things, it's just kind of foolish. It's just kind of foolish. You're flopping around like wearing flippers, you know? See, those shoes become another symbol of sin in our lives. We want more and more. We want bigger. We want better. I want mine to be bigger than his. I want mine to be bigger than hers. It's never enough. And these clown shoes, it's like sin on our feet. It grows and it slows us down and we're stumbling and we're tripping. We're falling on our face. We don't know why. We can't get anywhere. And it never crosses our mind to just take the shoes off. Or maybe you like the shoes too much. How silly. How foolish. And that, in verse 19, is the continual lust for more. The continual lust for more. One writer said, the pagan way of life was characterized by an insatiable desire to participate in more and more forms of immorality. Ultimately, it becomes a vicious circle because new perversions must be sought to replace the old. And you know that's true. We've been there. In foolishness, we invite sin into our life. In foolishness, we put clown shoes on our feet, and we're tripping over them. We're not getting anywhere. You know, we only exchange our big clown shoes for bigger clown shoes. We only exchange our secret sin for another secret sin. And we're always wondering why we can't get anywhere. We're always wondering where God is. That's how we used to live. That's how we used to live. That's where we came from. That's not where we're going. And I know I'm painted kind of a bleak picture here because we've come from bleak lives. You see, this is our story. I mean, this is us. Futility of thinking, darkened understanding, ignorance, hardening of our hearts, insensitivity toward God, continual lust for more. This is us. This is our story. And that's why we're here in church this morning. Because we know that we have the power to do something about it in Christ. And this is our challenge for the next year. And this is a major challenge. I mean, look at again, the word that the Apostle Paul uses. He insists that we no longer live this way. And this is our challenge, to no longer live as we used to live, to take off the face paint, to take off the clown shoes, to stop clowning around. You see, my name is not Barnum, and it's not Bailey, it's Busby. And God has created me by his grace to do good works that he prepared in advance for me to do. Since before the creation of the world, he said, man, you're going to do this. I'm a Christian. I'm not a clown. I've been clowning around most of my life, getting nothing accomplished, hawking people's noses, squirting water in their eyes, working my way to center stage. But the truth of the matter is, in reality, there's only room for one person at center stage, and that's Jesus. And when we give him center stage, we become so much more than clowns. We become his, eternally his. So how do we do it? That's the $64,000 question, right? How do we do it? I mean, we're Christians. We know who he is, but we stumble and fall over our sin. What do we do? Well, read with me as we continue in our passage, the cure for clowns, verses 20 through 24 of Ephesians 4. It says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The cure for clowns. And this leads to our last point, a new attitude. No more clowning around. A new attitude. He says in verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. You didn't come to know Christ that way. What way? In the futility of your thinking, in the darkening of your understanding, being separated from God, in ignorance, in the hardening of your heart, in insensitivity, continually lusting for more. You didn't come to know Christ in any of that. You came to know Christ in the opposite of that. The opposite of futility, reality, the opposite of darkening, walking into the light of Christ. The opposite of ignorance and misunderstanding is understanding when the Spirit has opened your mind. That's where you came to know Jesus. Verse 21, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You heard of him and learned of him in the truth that's in Jesus. What is the cure for clowns? It's Jesus. He's the cure. He's the cure. It's a new mindset that comes through truth of knowing exactly who Jesus is. You see, it all starts in the mind. We can put off the old self. We can put off the old way of life. We can quit the clown business. We can put on a new way of life. We can start living righteously, but it all starts in verse 23, being made new in the attitude of your minds. This is where it starts. If the seed of sin is where sin starts, then the seed of righteousness starts in the same place. It's understanding. Ignorance is not truly understanding, so you don't accept, but it's understanding. It's understanding and accepting the truth. And when you understand and accept the truth, this brings a new attitude based on that truth, an attitude where you're willing to take a knee in front of a million people, even when you know they're going to make fun of you. It's a new attitude. It's an attitude based on understanding and accepting the truth of God's grace. Do you realize that while we were still clowning around in sin, Christ died for us? Do you know what that means? It means it's not about us. It's not who we are. We're not as important as we think we are. It's not what we can do, what we have done. It's all grace. We're just clowns that God sacrificed his son for. It's grace. God didn't look down and go, "Ooh, man, he's good looking." No. It starts in our minds. In our minds, you know, just a few verses here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. It starts in your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Perfectly united in mind and thought. You know what that means? It means, how are we united in mind? By having the same mindset. That's how. It starts right here. In the mind, it's understanding the truth of God's grace, but it's also understanding the truth of who Jesus really is. Do you understand this morning, truly, do you truly understand who Jesus is? That's what changes your life. Colossians, I believe Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians explaining who Jesus is. Colossians, starting in verse 21, says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The truth that is in Christ Jesus, we're no longer alienated or separated from God. I mean, do you realize this? Do you realize that everyone outside of faith in Jesus are enemies of God? Do you realize that we were enemies in our minds? Enemies. But due to our faith in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, we're no longer enemies. We're no longer enemies. Now we're family. We're God's family. And being God's family, are we going to go act like the devil? Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. This is a little bit long, but man, this is good stuff. Amen. Colossians 2, starting verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Do you understand who Jesus is? He's the fullness of deity in bodily form. He's the fullness, he's the completeness of God in bodily form. God the Son, God incarnate. God. He is the power in our lives, and that's the truth. Truth, which brings understanding. We were dead, wearing clown shoes and white face paint, but now we're alive with Christ. We've been saved from clown shoes. We've been saved from the face paint, so take them off. We've been saved from our sins. Do we show gratitude to Father God by sinning even more? May it never be. See, by faith, we were buried with Christ. By faith, we were raised with Christ. So let's live with Christ. Let's live with him. Let's live with him. And I know that you would just love for me to give you some sort of formula. Do this and this and be free. Say 10 Hail Marys and you're free, my child. But ultimately, we can't do. The truth is that Jesus already did. Do you understand that? That's the understanding that will change your life. We can't. We don't. He did. That's the gospel. And that will free you. It will free you. It will free you. It's not about a formula. It's about life. It's about life with Jesus, our Savior, the sacrificial lamb who died for us. It's life with Jesus. It's understanding that when you leave this church, you leave with Jesus. When you drive home, you drive home with Jesus. When you get home, you get home with Jesus. And when you struggle in the secrecy of your man cave, or girls, I don't know where you hang out, but you're struggling with Jesus. He's there with you, and he is the power to overcome and to persevere and to be victorious. Jesus is victorious on the cross, and that's where we find victory. It's not about being better. It's about being completely surrendered. It's a mindset. You see, if we could be good enough, if we could be better, we wouldn't need Jesus. But we can't do, and we can't be. We need him so desperately. So desperately. So all I can really tell you is to go in him and with him. And remember Paul's words here in Ephesians chapter 4. He insists that if you go with Jesus, your life will look different. He insists. Are you a Christian or a clown? The truth of the matter is that we're all Christians who clown around from time to time. The question is, are you a clown 20% of the time or 80% of the time? And over the next year, our challenge is to become less of a clown. You see, clowns don't save the world. Ultimately, clowns destroy the world while everyone laughs. This is 2012, right? This is a year where people are predicting doom and gloom. People are predicting the end of the world. The last thing that people need right now is for Christians to be clowning around. The first thing they need, the very most important thing they need, is for us to lovingly offer them the gospel, the promise of eternal life, the promise of hope, not because of who they are, not because of what they can do, but because of who he is and what he did. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Play the music. The farce. It's my fault, I fear. I thought that you'd want what I want. Sorry,
my dear. Where are the clouds? Send in the clouds. Don't bother, they're here.
We don't have to live as clowns anymore. You know why? Because Christ Jesus is here. Jesus is here. My challenge to you for this next year, God's challenge to us for this next year, really the rest of our lives, is to get rid of the sin in our lives and to stop clowning around. To live with Him, to live for Him. You see, that's the first step in saving the world. That's the first step. It's time to mind His business and to stop clowning around. I close with Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, which says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Our New Year's challenge. I invite the praise team to come up. The cure for clowns is Jesus. It's Jesus. And I know that's the simple Sunday school answer, and I know most of you want so much more than that, but you come to understand that that truly is the answer. When you're at home and you're hiding and you're in sin, do you realize that Jesus is there with you? Do you? It's a sobering thought. Our church is a wonderful church. I love this church. I praise God for this church. But this church can become a three-winged circus if we're not committed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of your salvation. Just understanding that it's not about us and it's not about what we have done or can do. We, our best efforts, you know, even outside of Christ, even mission trips to Mexico, even that is a dirty rag. We got nothing. But in Christ, when we understand that Jesus gave all that we need, that He is a sacrificial lamb, that He is the perfect one, God incarnate, the fullness, the completeness of deity in bodily form, and that He died for you. And that in Him, being indwelt with the Spirit, that all of a sudden we have purpose and life, that we're alive, that we're not clowns anymore, and we set in motion to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, like going to Galeana and being a blessing. If you need special prayer or anything, just come on up, and myself, one of the elders, will pray with you.